The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Fancher at KLMJ Hampton and Kaylin McCain at the Southeast Iowa Union. Brian, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Thanks, Senator, for talking to us today. What have you heard on the latest with Ukraine, and what concerns you right now as we talk on this deck?
I haven't heard much more than what you know if you watch and follow the news pretty regularly. But I'm going to have a briefing this night. It's going to be attended by Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Homeland Security, Secretary of Energy, General Miley, and people like that. And there's more than I just gave you, but at least those people are going to brief us. And that'll be in a secured briefing, so I can't, just give you general comments, but I won't be done with that until about 9 o'clock tonight. Starts at 7:30. My concerns are, number one, that first of all, maybe I better start on the positive side. It's very positive that it looks like these sanctions are working, and it looks like particularly the decision that Europe made and the United States followed along on to stop Russian banks from using the acronym SWIFT is kind of an interbanking system where banks around the world do business through. That seems to have really bitten into Russia's business to do international business. So on the negative side, I'd only say that these sanctions should have been announced, maybe not put in place until the invasion happened, but if Putin had known what could happen, we wouldn't have had this invasion. And then the other thing is, did we get enough material to Ukraine soon enough to make a difference? I think I'll end with saying the situation's a very fast-moving one. We don't have a minute to waste in our efforts to support Ukraine. Let's go to Kaylin.
Changing topics a bit, to the Supreme Court nomination, or nominee, after Breyer's retirement, you said that Biden's pick should be in the legal mainstream and able to get bipartisan support. I know that you can't, decide on this candidate till you meet them, but, does Judge Jackson meet those expectations?
I think that it's difficult to speculate, but what little bit I knew about her, I voted against Judge Jackson when she went on the district court. Not district court, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. We're going to solidly vet her. It's going to take 3 or 4 weeks, I think, to get that done. I'm going to be able to meet with her in person this Wednesday. I'm going to have plenty of opportunity to ask questions. I'm going to insist that all Republican members of the committee, if they want to meet with her face-to-face, get a chance to do it like I'm doing it. And other Republicans ought to have the same chance, even if they aren't on the committee. But I think I shouldn't speculate beyond that. But what I knew about her previous judicial decisions, I thought she wasn't right for the district D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. Brian?
Senator, of course, the President's State of the Union address coming up. What do you want to hear him say?
I hope he's going to be able to show us that he's ready to lead instead of follow. I think the world order is a lot weaker when the United States sits back and doesn't take a lead in all these things. I think we'd have a more peaceable world. So I'm interested in what he's going to do to make the United States more independent, energy independent. This president came to office and shut down the XL pipeline, stopped drilling in the United States offshore, put regulations on fracking, even told banks don't loan to energy companies, and we need to be energy independent. And now you see the results of this. He goes to OPEC and say, can you send us some oil? She goes to Russia. Russia's benefiting right now from $100 price of oil. Whatever Biden says, we will have a smart, inspiring response from Governor Reynolds. Kalen?
You have recently called on the DOJ to fix some of Freedom of Information request backlog. I'm curious about what kind of changes you would like to see implemented to sort of increase transparency.
Okay, I think it's pretty simple. I think the Department of Justice has responsibility to make sure throughout government that the Freedom of Information Act ought to work better than it does, and policing it to see that it does. I don't think they're meeting that responsibilities, and I'm calling on them to issue some guidance, because we're seeing less information going out under Freedom of Information Act this year and last year than we have in previous years. It's never been good, and I know you're a journalist, so you know what Freedom of Information is, but for your listeners or readers, I want to explain that it's a way where any private citizen ought to be able to get most information they want from the federal government, and with that information, make government responsible. Transparency makes government accountable. Ryan.
Senator, what about any updates you want to give our listeners about with inflation the way it is right now? Is there anything else that you or your colleagues have been working on to maybe try to help at least get it to lower some?
Thanks, Senator Manchin, for stopping another $4.5 trillion of being spent through Build Back Better. And then, of course, 50 Republicans have the same opinion he has. But if he had not agreed to be a lone Democrat finding fault with Build Back Better and willing to fight the inflation problem like he has demonstrated he's willing to do, we could have spent another $4.5 trillion. I would think that maybe all the Democrats now with 7.5% inflation, that the highest in 40 years, that they'd realize that it was even a mistake to pass the Rescue Act that they passed back about 1 year ago right now, that spent another $2 trillion over what we spent in 2020. And what was spent in 2020 was probably more than we should have spent, even though we had to spend it to turn the economy around. I think the real fight against inflation, you'll find out on March 15th and 16th, how serious it is from the Fed's point of view, that they would tell us. They'll tell us what they're going to increase the interest rate, but the Fed is about 6 months behind fighting this inflation. They didn't see it coming. They said it's transitional. It is persistent. There's no doubt about it. Hopefully we get it under control, but it isn't going to happen overnight. Kalen, you're the last question.
There's been a growing buzz about protections for documented dreamers, the children of legal permanent residents, but who have to leave at 21 because they themselves are not permanent residents. I understand that you've met with some advocates like on that topic in the last couple of months. Where do you stand on like temporary or long-term solutions for documented dreamers?
Well, I have a bill in February of 2017 There was actually two bills in at the same time. None of them got 60 votes to stop debate, so we can never get to finality on them. So I'm going to stand with the contents of that legislation to answer your question. But to just kind of generalize, I don't have problems with dealing with kids that were brought here by their parents. Their parents violated our laws, entered the country without our permission, but the kids being forced to come with their parents can't be considered illegal aliens. Maybe from a technical standpoint they can, but from a humanitarian standpoint, I don't hold the kids responsible for what their parents did to violate the law. So that makes it easy. And yes, this was a topic of conversation in Oskaloosa town meeting, one of 12 counties I had last week, and one DACA person showed up, and you can't help but feel sorry for them, and because their parents brought them here, and that's a major problem. Okay, thank you both very much for participating.
Thank you, Brian and Kaylin, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.